If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the divine love and peace of the supreme presence of God. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christ. This evening, our seminar topic is, things are never as they seem on the surface, yet all serves a higher purpose. Things are never as they seem on the surface, yet all serves a higher purpose. So if you're ready, call yourself forward through your divine line of spiritual authority through which you come as a dispenser of God's love into this world, as a tributary of grace, as an inlet of new possibilities, fresh inventions, new creative openings to be presented. I want to start this evening with a very beautiful mantra that is so ancient it antedates both Sanskrit and Senza, which is the ancient language of the Brotherhood. And it's translated by the Tibetan master, DK. The sons of men are one, and I am one with them. I seek to love, not hate. I seek to serve and not exact due service. I seek to heal, not hurt. Let pain bring due reward of light and love. Let the soul control the outer form and life and all events, and bring to light the love which underlies the happenings of the time. Let vision come and insight. Let the future stand revealed. Let inner union demonstrate and outer cleavages be gone. Let love prevail. Let all men love. So just get a sense of that divine energy embodied in that mantra. That is exactly what we're here to do. To realize that every man, woman, and child on the planet is related to us. Before we're finished, we will have had incarnations with everyone and as everyone. We come back as our own ancestors. We are the ancient ones of former ages. We are our own relations. No one is stranger to us. The ones who are in our lives right now have agreed to interact in plays of consciousness with us. They're there, whether they play the role of friend or relative or enemy. They're there because they love you very much. And before you incarnated, you agreed to play the roles. And then when you got down here, of course you forgot. That was meant to be the way it is. So you have a fresh start in each lifetime. But everyone that's in your life is your teacher and your student. And they learn from you the way to love, ideally. And we have lifetimes in which we've killed each other and hated each other and loved each other and fought with each other because we get to play all roles. But don't take any of this terribly seriously because it's only a play of consciousness. It's a play within the arena governed by the laws of duality and polarity, where things are known by their opposite. It's meant to be that way. And the test is to learn to walk between the pairs of opposites in a neutral state where you acknowledge both, but keep your eye single. And the single eye of the divine spirit that you are operates in divine neutrality. It doesn't polarize. It doesn't form an againstness against anyone or anything. Oh, the ego does that, yes. But we learn to direct that ego mind and thus purify it so it becomes filled with the light of higher awareness. And no longer colors what we see or how we interact. So we become the living love. And then we've learned all that this life and all of these experiences have been here to teach. And then what happens? Well, we have a free choice. We can come back again as a teacher, a way shower, a spiritual traveler, a bodhisattva, or we can go on to other work in the cosmos, or we can merge with the beloved, and we can step in and out of incarnation as we're evoked or called forward. There are many, 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 many ways that we go forth in service, which is endless service. We serve because it's our bliss. And it's out of our bliss that the new creations arise. Because the one thing that continually changes is our point of view, is our mindset, and our understanding. It keeps expanding. So whatever you started with as a belief when you were very young, hopefully you don't maintain any of those beliefs anymore. You're in a new state of consciousness. You can't repeat the past. That's retrogressive. But you can always empty yourself so you can be infilled with a new energy. And that's the ideal. So everyone here on this planet, everyone, is a soul doing the very best they know how, given their karmic lessons and liabilities, their state of consciousness, and available resources. And to grow means to let go. Let go of what was in order to embrace what is next. And it's good to do that without having preconditioning of how it's got to be. It is the way it is because that's the way you can best interact with it. It's designed that way. Each one of us has our own personal curriculum, our own holy writ that's written on the fabric of our innermost being. And it comes forward and presents in a way that's best received by us. So the Course in Miracles has a beautiful statement given by the Master Jesus, who gave us the Course in Miracles, and it's this. The holiest place on earth is where an ancient hatred has become a present love. The holiest place on earth is where an ancient hatred has become a present love. So, in the battlefields that we have going on the planet, that's the challenge. At some point, the power of the soul and the light and love that is the soul has to awaken, and these ancient combatants and the places that are now dripping with blood and destruction and pain have to become the holiest place on earth, where these ancient hatreds become a present love. I often pray and visualize people throughout the world that are fighting, suddenly losing all interest in fighting. It's as if they come to their senses and they look at their weapons and their hands and they think, What nonsense? Am I out of my mind? I want to go home and have a good dinner with my wife and children. I don't want to kill. I have no interest in killing. What am I doing, destroying my town and the places and things I love? And they just dropped those guns in disgust, all of them. And they go home. And they love their wife and their children. And then they go and they join with their former combatants. And they plant gardens and flowers and clean up the rubble and join in great alliances to beautify and make their homeland even more beautiful than it has ever been before. And they awaken and realize that there's only one God. Call him Jehovah or Allah or Submad, Purushottama, Bhagavan, Buddha, whatever. It's the same God. And we learn to appreciate each other's way and culture. We wouldn't change it for the world, because this planet offers a rich diversity of life, a variegated colored tapestry of wonderment that makes it the very jewel, we're told, of this cosmos. Very jewel, the very springboard back to the highest divine positive realms of spirit that can alone be returned to through the human instrument. Pretty amazing. So every culture, every language, every religion, every color of skin, everything that's on this planet is so beautiful, so unique, and so precious that we need to really cherish every evidence of the uniqueness of each person, knowing that under that skin, we're all a pure emanation of one divine source, absolutely blemishless, innocent, and pure. So, I want to speak to you a little bit about what appears to be happening in the world, and to again reinforce again and again that it's not what's happening on the surface that matters. It's the purpose that's being served through the enactment. And unless you have that spiritual higher vision, you're not going to see that, because you have to look with spiritual eyes to see what's really going on. You don't just take a surface appearance. We're 6 days away from probably the most important election that we've had here in the United States. And it has brought out the very best and the very worst of people. It's been very interesting to watch. But there's another way to look at what's happening. We have to understand that there's not just one way to look at something. It's not all black and white. Everything down here is a mixture. It's like tweed. It's black and white and gray. Everything, everyone. There's no one that is not a mixture down here. No one. We all have that little bit of negativity, which is very important, because it's through the friction of the self and the not-self, the truth and the illusion, that catalyzes growth. You have to have those polar opposites. So as much as light that comes into the planet, the dark lodge of the dark masters bring in just that much darkness, because that's the way it's set up down here. It's to be a testing ground through which you emerge victorious when you have totally awakened to the truth of the divine incarnation that you are. The part that is tested is the mind which can be your jailer, your worst enemy and nightmare, and can block and sabotage every effort that you make to move towards the light, or you can shift its vibration to the intuitional plane just above the lower judgmental portion of the mind. You can shift it up to the intuitional plane, in which it becomes a doorway through which the soul can peer into this dimension and thereby bring clarity and transmute the negativity. It's by bringing in that soul light through the intuitional level of the mind into the lower ego mind that causes it to dissolve. And with it, the only thing that will ever block you from present peace and wholeness and love. So let's consider a new way to look at our political candidates, as well as people in positions of leadership and power. What if you saw them as candidates in a mystery school undergoing tests of initiation? I looked at the candidates and I could see where they were in their, let's say, spiritual state. It was very clear to see. And by the behavior of each, you could see where they were operating from in terms of their level of consciousness. But not only were they undergoing tests of initiation, but we were too, as a collective humanity. We were also being tested at the same time. Because these two individuals simply represent the best and the worst that is in each one of us. You can't have a leader that doesn't reflect the collective consciousness and karma of any given nation. That's the way the thing works. So the tests are largely, when you have a person that's running for political leadership, that would be Ray One, power and will, are tests involving the uses and abuses of power and influence. Will they be used for collective good or for personal gain? The world is largely astrally polarized, which means people are very emotional. Very few people think or think clearly. They react out of their three lower chakras: security, sensation, and power. Very few have made that transformation that brings them up to the heart center, or even higher. Very few. And those would be the aspirants and people who are moving into the higher levels of spiritual integration. So collective humanity needs to make that big shift from that lower nature up into the heart. And so whoever ends up in that Oval Office here in America, or wherever your nation is, whoever you have as your leader, is going to be representing the collective decision of what energy you're going to align with. Are you going to align with the old guard? Or are you going to move into the new paradigm? The new paradigm is based on unity, collaboration, coordination, cooperation, sharing, expanding, opening, including, embracing plurality. Because at least here in America, we're the melting pot of every kind of an ethnic group on the planet. And we have the Dharma of being the way showers for a global community, a global family. That's our Dharma. The minute we start closing down our heart and locking out certain people through fear, we've lost. We have made the wrong choice. And yeah, we've made wrong choices because none of us are perfect. There's so much karma being worked out in what's happening on the planet today. It is breathtaking. Sai Baba said, for example, that when the World Trade Centers were bombed, that there was an ancient, or exactly when Iraq was bombed, that there was an ancient karma between the Bush family and Saddam Hussein. I think probably if you went back in the Bible and looked at some of those characters, he claims to have been Nebuchadnezzar, however the heck you say it, and who knows who Bush was. But somewhere in there, you're going to find that they switched roles. And that's what we do. We switch roles. They come back again and again. These countries that keep fighting and fighting year after year after year. Centuries go by, and it's the same people coming back again to basically do the same thing, but switching roles. Now, if you don't find yourself in one of those war zones, you don't have karma with it. But if you start getting involved and making it your business in terms of criticizing, judging, taking sides, going on about how horrible that is, and so forth and so on, when you really haven't a clue what's happening, only God does, then you form a karma with that. Because if you judge it, there's a good chance you'll reincarnate in that land, in that situation, with those people, so you can look at it from another angle, up close and personal. So our test, as we watch the things happening on the internet or the news or whatever, is how are we watching it? Are we creating karma by getting really angry and upset and cursing and carrying on about how horrible these people are? God help any of us if all of our skeletons were out dancing on the stage for everyone to see. God help us. Because I can promise you, if you haven't done it in this lifetime, you've done it in the past. That's why when you see it in another person, you hate it and project it on that person. Because otherwise, it would have no effect on you. None. Wouldn't cause a ripple if you hadn't done the same thing. And that's why we get so angry when we see certain things that we haven't loved and accepted and forgiven in ourselves portrayed outwardly. So pay attention, wake up, and watch when you start to lose it. And you start to slander and gossip and criticize. And know that you're fighting your own self. There is no outer. There's only a self. And that self is one. And in highest truth, none of us have ever been here except as a projection of consciousness that God identified with a time-space scenario. And therefore, we got caught. Have to keep coming back where you're attached, where you keep thinking, where you keep focusing. And whether that focus is negative or positive, you come back to eat the fruits thereof. So our test as light workers is harmlessness. Harmlessness. In speech, thought, action, very difficult. I've been doing fasts. And the fast I chose to do was to fast from negative mental commentary, mental thoughts. And, you know, I thought I had pretty well mastered that years ago. But I noticed at least three times the first day I did the fast that my mind was just negatively pondering over the political situation. And I thought, wow, I really, I have more negative thoughts than I realized. And so the good thing was that I caught it the minute I did it, because I'm used to being backed off from my mind as the observer. I've practiced that for so long. It's automatic. So I watched it immediately as he came in. It came in real sneaky, like wool gathering, But you have to watch those little tendencies that come in, because they're avenues of darkness into your mind, which blocks the light of the world that you are. Most of us learn at least some degree of harmlessness in terms of our actions, and to some degree our speech, but thoughts are very difficult to catch. So that's our test. The sons of men are one, and I am one with them. I seek to love and not hate. I seek to heal and not hurt. So you can't heal if you're dripping blood from your own self-indictment, your own self-victimization. It all starts with you. So we're looking at these two human beings, and imagine we know what's going on. We might even imagine that we know what's for the highest good. I can absolutely guarantee that we don't. We don't know what's going on. We don't know what's for the highest good. We don't really know the karma that's being worked out. And moreover, we're not in control. No matter who we vote for, there's a higher plan that will put the person in office that's either going to be our worst nightmare and send us back, way back, before we gain certain freedoms, or we're going to put someone in office who is part of the new paradigm energy. I don't know which one it will be. But what's really going on is that our world, our outer world, is a big school of initiation. What's an initiation? It's awakening to a higher degree of awareness and light. And you're tested to go through the initiation, but then you have to anchor that initiation and own it by embodying it. So there's many people who are initiated and very few real initiates. But wherever you see a person that's wielding tremendous influence and has a tremendous amount of power in that influence, it's a pretty good idea that that person is an initiate. Some of them are initiates, but they operate very cruelly. For example, Mao Zedong was a third degree initiate. Third degree. That's really powerful. But he was initiated on the first ray of power and will, and he had not developed compassion and empathy. He was a great leader, no doubt. Completely revolutionized China. But with great cruelty. And so, even though you may be a high initiate, you may not have developed that Christ consciousness, which is the love and the wisdom that softens that first ray. The Russian leaders also, of the Soviet Union, they were all initiates of a certain degree. Not as high as Mao Zedong, but they were initiates. And so you can use the power for evil and subjugation and cruelty, or you can use it in a positive way, like Nelson Mandela, for example, another great initiate. Jimmy Carter, another initiate. John F. Kennedy, another initiate. Reagan, another initiate. Lincoln was not only an initiate, he was a racial avatar of the American nation. So wherever you see power and influence, it could be the power of the ego. Because before you can awaken those higher spiritual levels, you have to perfect the ego and its personality. For example, some people don't have any power at all. They're very undeveloped mentally, emotionally, in every way. And they don't know how to get their ducks lined up in their physical life. They're not integrated at all. They're operating completely out of their karmic field and their ego structure. So their development has to do with personal self-integration. They have to develop their personality, their ability to function effectively and with common sense and certain degree of practicality. You have to learn how to function as a human being rather than just an animal. that eats and sleeps and mates, defends its property. That's an animal life. So it takes a long time for the personality to actually integrate to where it's effective and is able to operate effectively in the physical world. So a person at that level may attain tremendous fame and wealth and power and notoriety, but it's all about the ego. It's all about the personal self and its gain and aggrandizement. But it's only when the heart is absolutely passionate about service and taking responsibility, not only for itself, but for a wider arena of influence, that you see the evidence of the soul being integrated into the personality. It's called soul infusion or soul integration. And it's evidenced by a spirit of selfless service, a desire to serve. And there you have the people that are involved in some form of service. And when I speak of our spiritual life, this applies to every area of life. So it certainly would include a CEO of a large corporation, spiritual or religious leaders, members of the Senate or Congress, people working in financial field, artists, actors, performers, athletes, inventors, scientists, military leaders, architects, humanitarians, philanthropists, writers, speakers, agriculturists, people in the field of medicine, technology, research. There is no area of life that is not spiritual, that isn't a spiritual arena through which we attain self-mastery. And so the soul of a nation is made up of the initiates, people who have a direct contact with the soul and are in process of integrating that soul. They form the collective soul of a nation. And the best qualities of any nation are exemplified in the ideals and the following through of those ideals with any given nation. Two things stand very well in America's stead. We have been a nation that has exported food more than any other nation. And we are the nation that exported spirituality in the terms of the Bible. Now, if you've never, ever in your whole life, ever heard about Jesus and his love, can you imagine what a change that would bring into the life of a person? And yeah, a lot of bad things came along with that too. But before the Christian missionaries went forth, there was no such thing as a hospital. People would just walk over somebody and think, well, you're cursed of the devil, or you have bad karma, too bad. But because Christianity only believes, it's not an accurate belief, but they believe that you only have one life, they made that life very precious by bringing in the hospitals and all the humanitarian things that are now, you know, all over the planet. So a lot of good was done And a lot of bad was done because they invalidated, in many cases, the natural culture of those people. And that's too bad. It was a misunderstanding of the scriptures. They took universal statements that Jesus said and interpreted them in terms of his personal self and his form. For example, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes unto the Father save by me. And so they said, well, Jesus is the only way to heaven. They didn't understand that he was speaking from the Atma, the higher consciousness. Every one of us, when we get to that level that he has, will say the same thing. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And no one comes unto the Father, the monad, except through the soul, which is what he was speaking as. You have to move into soul awareness before you can move into monadic awareness. The soul represents the Son of God, the monad, the Father. They're centers of consciousness that have nothing to do with a single individual. Every initiate, every master says the same thing when they get to those levels. Same thing. So right now, in America, we started out being a Christian nation founded on the Bible. Pilgrims had just gotten the very first Bible off the printing press. They jumped in the boat and they came across to America and landed with the Bible that they hadn't really read or studied. They just grabbed it off the printing press. And it spread all over the country, so you have all these different interpretations because there was nobody at the time to teach them. So all these different beliefs and sects, and there's 32,000 different sects in Christianity alone. Not to mention the Greek and the Russian and the Coptic and the Orthodox branches. The Gnostic branches. So what was originally founded on one book, one point of view, and a faulty interpretation has now been superseded by a plurality of cultures and religions and people and nations that have come to make America their home. So we have to have someone like our beloved President Obama who has a broad enough understanding and consciousness and level of initiation that he could open the door and celebrate and honor all faiths, all religions, all cultures, all people. And he got a lot of criticism for that. He never denied his own Christianity. He lived his faith by having a broad love for all people, a broad heart. Was he perfect? No. Who's perfect? He was going through his test of initiation. But overall, did a darn good job for 8 years. So, we need to think in very broad ways. This narrow, secular kind of thinking, which is one way or no, you know, there's no breadth of consciousness in people, that's the old paradigm. People get stuck in that. And they get angry and lash out at you if you bring in any kind of other point of view. They're not open, in many cases, to discuss this. Well, it says so in this book, therefore. Yes, but what does the Lord God of your heart have to say? What does the intuition, which is God's knowingness inside you, say. Forget the book. You have to awaken to the living word inside of your heart and allow it to flood your whole being with light. It doesn't come out of the mind. The mind is dark, and darkness cannot comprehend the light. But the ways of light are always expansion, expansive, inclusive, cooperative, embracing, welcoming, faith boosting. Faith boosting. So we learn sometimes the hard way, but there's always a better way. There's always a higher choice that could be made if we will make it. So what do? You have to live true to the amount of light and knowledge that you have and do the best you can with what you've got. As a light worker, we have a very strong mandate to be the light and to be the salt of this earth. We have to preserve the things of God as best we can. The sacred things, the things which would be just and loving for all. Anything that benefits only a small amount of people is egocentric. If all people don't benefit, there's no benefit. We're all one people. If we don't all rise, we all fall. Because we rise as a body, as a nation. We're each under the karma of the nation in which we're born. If you move to another nation, you add that karma onto yourself. So everything happens because of an effect of a cause that was set in motion at some point. And therefore, the effect has to be reaped. That's why you can't look at what's happening on the news and pass judgment. You can't. I mean, you can, people do. But it's very foolish. Because what keeps the world in motion is the law of cause and effect. For everything that happens in life to each individual, there had to have been a prior cause. Had to have been. Every action, every thought, every word, every movement of consciousness is a cause set into motion that produces an effect. Even the most idle, wool-gathering thought creates an effect. So nothing happens on its own. Therefore, all we see taking place in the world, on the news, in our life, and in the lives of others, are the effects of previous causes set into motion. Now, whether the world we see outwardly is an illusion created within our mind or not, we believe we are here experiencing real events. And to that extent, it is real to us. So we can only act according to our level of consciousness until we transcend to a higher level of awakened awareness. So in this dream world we believe is real, we must enact the role in which we've been cast. as well as we possibly can, hopefully remembering that it's simply a temporary role, one of many. It's just role play and plays of consciousness. Nothing else is going on here at all. It's a school of self-mastery. So we also benefit by experiencing the play of polarization that this world offers. It's like a gymnasium for developing spiritual muscles. So whatever happens in life is brought about by causes, and there's no event without a prior cause. And each is followed by the consequence based upon the energy of that initial cause. And that's why there really are no victims. A victim is simply a former victimizer. Oh, that's hard for people to accept. But it's the absolute truth. When you awaken and realize that you've never been a victim of anyone or anything but your own deluded mind, it's a tremendous relief. Because you have the ability to change your mind. To change your mind, you also need to change your story. You switch from telling your victim-victimizer story to one in which you accept full responsibility for your life and what shows up in your life. Suddenly, you feel both empowered and free. Now you're in charge of what you entertain in your mind and what kind of mental atmosphere you will live in as your world. What kind of atmosphere do you live in? Is it one of peace and harmony and enjoying life and the beauties of nature? Loving your friends and family? Laughing and playing? And finding delight in each day? Or not? You create your own internal atmosphere. No one and nothing outside of yourself can affect you in any way. Only if you believe it can. So change your belief to one that produces a better atmosphere for you. Now you can, and many light workers do, project a threatening worldview of multi-dimensional conflicts and adversaries, of forces both on and off planet that threaten your survival and well-being. Is that fun? Do you enjoy that? So while filling your mind with victimizing evildoers and global conspiracies, while that may provide some astral stimulation and excitement, it will never allow you to experience the peace and bliss of higher awareness. Do you want to keep living in your own inner realms of terrorism? Or do you want to experience the presence of God? A presence in which everything dissolves, but bliss. Only you limit and deprive yourself by what you import into your mind as your reality. You import it. Your reality is your atmosphere. It's in your mind. Nowhere else. And only you can free yourself by changing what you host in your mind. So why terrorize yourself? Unless you really enjoy that. There's a phrase in the Bible that fits this moment very perfectly. It said, the time will come when people will not listen to sound doctrine, but they'll run after people and listen to people who tickle their ears with fantasies, for they prefer fantasies to reality. I found that to be true in a lot of cases. That's why you almost never hear me talking about the various things that occupy most New Age channeling, because it's simply wasting time. It's not real. It's not lasting. They're stories. Stories we tell ourselves that victimize, depress, frighten us, and cause us to buy into a fictional reality that then becomes real to us because we have endowed it with reality by our attention and our belief. The best way to remove, get yourself out of that, is to take your attention away from what you do not want in your life. If you do not want it in your life, take your attention away from it and starve it. Because things can only remain in your consciousness that you give your attention to. And whatever you give your attention to, you've opened the door to that. So I would advise you to open your door to love, to goodness, to kindness, to beauty, to things that you can laugh about and enjoy and share, and fill your life with something that makes you proud of yourself, not in an egocentric way, but so that you have a sense of your own goodness. Have a sense of your own goodness by doing good works. Not for any personal benefit, but because your nature as a child of God is good. The more good works you do, the more you will have self-respect and self-esteem and self-appreciation. And what you appreciate, you increase. So appreciate the gift that you have of a life in which you have the opportunity to fully awaken as God. Use this life. Let everything in your life be your love made manifest. And refrain from judging if you would not wear the shoes of the one you have judged. We can't be told that enough. So it does no good to know more about the illusion, but it will do great good to live the truth. So study good spiritual books by enlightened men and women and learn the truth if you do not know it. And then practice one or two of those teachings that appeals to you. And do all the good you possibly can with the time you've got, which is very fleeting in this body. Because the only question you're really going to be asked when you leave this world is, did you learn to love? Did you love? How did you express your love? And there's not another thing that you will take with you to eternity but your love and the truth of who you are. I'm going to close with another mantra from the Master DK. I am a messenger of light. I am a pilgrim on the way of love. I do not walk alone, but know myself as one with all great souls, and one with them in service. Their strength is mine, This strength I claim. My strength is theirs, and this I freely give. A soul, I walk on earth. I represent the One. And so we close with Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. May all the worlds and all the beings and all the worlds be happy and peaceful and awaken to their pure divine being. Namaste.